Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence has it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. But let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable he spoke unto them, The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun into the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides it, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of this world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, Have you understood all these things? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasures things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch as they were astonished and said, Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty miracles, mighty works here because of their unbelief. Father, help us understand this one. I don't think we can cover all this tonight anyway. But again, what's this series about? The mind of Christ. Now, God was speaking these things through the man, Jesus, by the Spirit of Christ, right? And we know that he understood the things that Father spoke to him. Is that right? So when he speaks these things, we have to think and try to get on the same plane that Jesus spoke on. Why did he say what he said? Why did he think what he thought? Why did he act like he acted? And why did he talk like he talked? We need to know those things, don't we? Why did he do it? We know he did it because his Father told him to start with. But there's a thinking process that we need to have. The mind is what? A thinking process. So if I say, what's your mind like, where I speak about your mind, I'm talking about how do you think. Does that make sense? If I want to put on the mind of Christ, then I have to put on the thinking process that He used. See? He didn't just grasp things out of the air. He had a logical thinking process. Because if anything's illogical in this world, it's humanity. But God is very, very logical. He makes sense in everything He does. But we don't make sense out of it through the natural mind, do we? We make the logical sense out of it with the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ. And in 24 he says, another parable he put forth in him saying, the kingdom of heaven is. That's the first thing we ought to know about the kingdom of heaven. It just is. If anybody asks you about the kingdom of heaven, what about the kingdom of heaven? Just say, is. Because everything about the kingdom is. It's present tense. It's not going to be. The kingdom of heaven just is. And where is it at? Luke 17, 20, 21. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you. By Christ's own words. But the kingdom of heaven is like to a man which sowed good seed in his field. Right? Who is this man? It's the Christ that sowed a good seed in his field. Because we've already read the rest of it. We know it. What is this field? It's your heart or your mind. Okay? But while men... Or literally, let me get this word again. And in that men or humanity slept, what do you think he means by that? While humanity or men slept? Spiritually we're talking now. Not just what did he say. We know the words. We all understand them. But what is he saying by spirit? While men slept. They were dead spiritually. They weren't paying attention. All through the book of Matthew, he never says the word dead, death, because Jews were very religious. And he used the word slept. Don't you remember all through the scriptures he says someone died and someone slept with his fathers. He went and slept with his fathers. He wouldn't say died. He said they slept with their fathers. Okay? Carnal mind. Mm-hmm. So it's in the carnal mind. That's why they're sleeping. They're not awake. His enemy... Right? That's literally the carnal mind. See? The Bible says this, that the carnal mind is the enemy of God. Right? So if it's God's enemy, who else's enemy is it? My enemy too. See? So when it says, the, what's that? Okay. So the carnal mind came and sowed tares. And this word tares was literally a black seed by the word. What would a black seed be in your mind? It would be a carnal thought. See? And this carnal mind came along and sowed these seeds in this good ground. See, God never did say you were bad. Because when God created humanity and when He finished everything He did, what did He say? He stepped back, looked at it, and said, it's very good. He didn't say good, he said, very good. See? But this thing is what messed it up. This thing between our ears we call a mind. And it comes along and it sows these wicked thoughts, these black seeds. Okay? And isn't that what happened from the very beginning? See, we think this is just a parable that's going now, but he's going back and telling you what it was from the beginning of humanity. That God created. When he created Adam, was he not perfect? Didn't the Bible say in Ezekiel 28, he says he was perfect in all his ways to the day he was created? Didn't he say that? So, was we perfect? See? But what messed us up? See, our thinking messed us up, those black thoughts, those black seeds, those human thoughts, got in there and made us believe that we are no longer children of God because we did something wrong. Right now in our natural thinking, if we have children and our children are told don't do that and they do it, what's the first thing they think when mom and dad comes close to them? Ooh, they're going to get me. See, why? Because we have taught our children, if you do bad, we're going to get you. And we're supposed to be a representation of God in this earth. Come on, we are. And we should be like our Heavenly Father. I'm not saying you don't correct your children, but I'm saying in our youth, when we have our children, when we're young, we did not raise them in the way we should have raised them. We used anger in our lives most of the time to try to correct. And anger is never the way to correct. How do you correct? In love. And I don't mean telling them, this is going to hurt you more than me. That's not love. Because I felt that rod on me many times. They said, it's going to hurt them more than me, but it wasn't cutting the blood out of their back and the back of their legs, so I don't believe it hurt them that bad. See, I can never believe that story. But anyway, he sowed these tares with these human thoughts among the what? What's the wheat? It's the Word of God. So they mixed. See? And that's why James said, a double-minded man is what? In what? All of his ways. See? Because it's a mixture. There's the problem with the church world. Why is the church so screwed up? Why are people so screwed up? It's because they're living in a mixture realm. They're trying to put God in this human vessel and make this human vessel pretty and clean and send it to the heaven. You can't do it. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. We have to walk in spirit. We have to drop everything else off. When we walk into that Holy of Holies, there's nothing going in but pure spirit. Everybody wants to take something else with them. Like I was talking before, they want to carry their little security blankets with them. See? I want to carry something out of Pentecost with me. I want to be like Achan. I'm going to grab me a piece of cloth and a little gold and take it with me. Something out of that realm to remember it by. Isaiah said not to remember the former things or the things of old, didn't he? We've got to get out of that realm. We've got to forget what's back there. The book says not looking back, but looking onward, forward, unto the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, but he sowed this carnal mind, sowed these human thoughts with the Word of God and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, what? At that time appeared the tares also. Okay? They were both sowed at the same time. You know why? Because in the Garden of Eden there was two trees in the midst of that garden. That Garden of Eden was this thing. What tree was there? And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's the same thing. There's the sower. Who sowed that in your heart? God did. Do you think he knew about that tree of knowledge of good and evil? What did he tell Adam? If you eat of that one, you'll die. Right? God knew it was there. He put it there. He ain't blaming it on some devil to come by. And I know the translation, that's just a translation. Don't worry about that. We'll deal with it when we get there a little bit later. I'm not giving any credit to some devil with the horns and the pitchfork and the pointy tail and the red flannel suit. So, the rest of that 26th verse, it said, at that time appeared the tares also, right? Literally, only at the harvest was the tares apparent. See? When it sprung up and brought forth fruit, it said, then what? There was the tares also. So when the fruit came forth, that was a time of harvest, isn't it? So we really don't realize that the tares are there most of the time, do we? They're growing right alongside us. We don't even pay attention to them. You know, we get so comfortable with our carnal thoughts that we don't even know they're carnal. We think, well, that's just one of the boys hanging around. See, we get so comfortable in our thinking process that it's okay. Is it okay? See, if it was okay to do anything you wanted to do with no accountability, no responsibility, then God was stupid. Do you realize that? If that's what this book really says, then God was completely stupid, and everybody that wrote this book was stupid too. Because I don't see no reason to write 500,000 words in this book and then not hold anybody accountable to them. That just don't make sense. And this book says you're accountable for what you do. You will reap what you sow. Okay? Verse 27. So the servants, right? What is the servants of the householder? Okay? Who's the householder? The father. Are we not the bond slave of Christ? That slave is us. That servant is us. And the householder is our father. And he said unto him, Sir, or literally, Lord, did not thou sow good seed? What's the good seed? Right? Which is Christ. Isn't he the Word? He said, did you sow good seed in your field? And then why does it have tares? If you sowed good seed. And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. And we know the only enemy there is what? The carnal mind. See, not some devil with a pitchfork. The carnal mind is what messed everything up. And the servant said unto him, will you then that we go and gather them up? Or literally, do you desire us to go gather them up? Is that what you want us to do? What did he say?
No.
Nope. First of all, the problem here is the servants are volunteering to do something. Okay? And that's what's wrong with the world today and with people today. They're volunteering to do things for God. Does God know what he wants done? Does he need volunteers? What's he need? Servants that will obey him. That's all. If he doesn't tell you to do anything, what should you do? Just stand there. Okay? When you've done all you can do, just stand. Say, don't get excited about anything. Okay? We don't have to run out and try to accomplish some work for God to accept us. He knows where you're at, doesn't he? So guess what? You just wait on him. And he'll come to you when he needs you. The problem today is everybody's wanting to run out real quick and help God. Jesus sat on this earth for 33 and a half years before he began to minister. And everybody today wants to run about 3.5 weeks and then they want to minister. See? There's a time. God is going to set you in his time. It's not my time. It's not your time. It's his time. Everything according to his plan. See? So if we get in a hurry and we want to help God and want to run out there and do something before God truly sets us, what's going to happen? You're going to mess things up. Now, if he'd listened to these servants and said, okay, go ahead, do what you want to do, what would they have done? He said that you'd uprooted the seed, the good seed, right along with it. See? Does that tell you something? That our thinking usually is not as elevated as God's, is it? See? We have an idea, but it seems good unto us. I think Proverbs says it the way it seems right unto man, but the end of it's death. Right? He says, the next verse, 29. Nay, least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. We don't want that at the same time, do we? He said, but let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, look what he says. Who's going to do the talking? God says, I will say to the reapers. It's not up to us. It's not up to the church system. It's not up to our thinking process to decide when to reap, is it? In the time of harvest, he says, I will speak to the reapers. Literally, God gives the orders to separate and harvest. See? But we want to volunteer. Sorry. Sorry. God doesn't want you to volunteer. He wants you to wait for the command. Gather together first the tares, and that's the human thoughts, right? And bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat, that's the Word, that's the Christ, into my barn. See? Now, first of all, the church world teaches this. That's all the bad people in the world. That's all them people don't come to church. That's all them people smoke cigarettes, drink beer, take dope, chase women or chase men. They're homosexuals, they're lesbians. That's them kind of people they're going to burn up, right? Whew, man, is that sad. Helen, tell me something. What did Jesus come for?
To deliver.
And reconcile this world. Doesn't the book say he was this? Behold, a Savior is born unto us on the day he was born into this world? Didn't say condemner, did it? Somebody messed something up somewhere. And I don't think it was God. I don't think it was God. He did not come to condemn us. He didn't come to throw people in hell. There's no passage in the Bible, and I have never, and I've offered a lot of people, cash money. Hundreds of dollar, $100 bills, crisp, new ones. I'll go to the bank and get them. If anybody can show me where God says, I'm going to throw a human being in hell. Because I've looked at every word in this book hundreds of times. And it's not there in the language, and it's not there in the translations. Not even in the carnal translations of some of them. See, preachers put people in hell. They're the ones that told people we're going to hell. Jesus' own words, he said, I created hell for the devil and his angels. And that's spiritual error also. They don't understand. They're thinking with a carnal mind, trying to understand the mind of God. And Paul said very clearly in 1 Corinthians, he said, chapter 2, I believe it is, he said, the carnal man receives, the natural man receives nothing of the Spirit of God. What did he receive?
Nothing.
Nothing from the Spirit of God. Because it's spiritually discerned. That's why they can't understand. They don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. But anyway, he said, he's going to give the command to separate and harvest. He said, gather together the tares or the human thoughts. Bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn, that's the Christ, into his house. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which seed is indeed the least of all seeds, but when it is grown is greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Okay, let's look at this. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? Wee bitty thing. What do you say the kingdom was like? A wee little bitty thing. You mean tell me the kingdom isn't these big Babylonian structures they got built all over the earth today? 10,000 people sitting in them? He said the kingdom's a wee little bitty thing, didn't he? Just like that little mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And that's in the heart, which indeed is the least or the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it becomes the greatest among herbs. And you know, a mustard plant will grow up pretty big. I've seen them up like this, 5 feet, 6 feet high. But look what the rest of it says. And becomes a what? A mustard seed isn't supposed to be a tree, is it? Something's perverted here. When you start playing in these parables, he's talking about mixing the human thought with the Word of God, the two seeds, right? What do you think you're going to get out of that? Huh?
Confusion,
perversity, right? Because when you mix the truth with human thinking, you're going to have a real mess. And that's what's happened here. You get perversion. Things will grow all crazy. And he says, he becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. Now, what's the birds of the air? It's the thought process, the demonic influence. Tree represents humanity, doesn't it? See, when this kingdom grows up, it becomes humanistic. This tree is humanistic. So it brings it into the realm of humanism in our humanistic thinking, and then this demonic influence through the birds in our minds come and lodge in the what? Well, you know what it says in John 15:5? I am the vine and you are what? Where'd the birds lodge? Right in here. In us. It's in us. So it tells me somebody has perverted something in this thing. Would you agree that something in this message has been perverted? Hello? Something in the message of the kingdom has been perverted. Would you agree to that? I'm not what I'm speaking. I'm saying that the message of the kingdom of God has been perverted by humanity. That's what I'm saying. And another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened to what? Leaven. What is leaven? It's yeast. Many times through the Bible it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What context is that? Positive or negative? But see, this is the positive context. Because the kingdom is likened to leaven. I've heard people preach that negative, but this is a positive. He said the kingdom is leaven. And when this woman took it and hid it in how many measures?
Three.
How many covenants?
Three.
How many realms?
Three.
How many days?
Okay.
And this woman went and took and heard it, hid it. Is the church a woman? Okay. In all three realms of the church, this woman's going to hide this leaven. And she hid it in what? What'd she hide it in?
Meal.
What is meal? It's ground wheat. Guess what that is? That's a finely ground word. See? There's a word and there's a truth in every one of the realms of the covenant. There's a truth in Passover. There's a truth in Pentecost. And there's a truth in tabernacles. Just because Passover doesn't have a complete view doesn't make it totally bad, does it? It just means it's incomplete. It's not wrong. It's incomplete. But it's took and hid in here until all or the whole was leavened. Guess what? The kingdom's going to take over everything. I see reconciliation in that message. Because all will be leavened. If all is going to be leavened, then who's not going to be in the kingdom? Tell me that one. If all the realms of all the covenants are going to be leavened, then who's going to be left out? Okay? It's everywhere. That'll make you happy. Verse 34, he goes on and says, all these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them. When I saw this years ago, that this is parables, 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 parables. What is this whole book called? What do we call this? The Word of God. Isn't Jesus the Word? Well, then you know what I see in this? This whole book is a parable. Does that mean that there was not a man called Adam or Eve on the earth? No, I'm not saying that. Was there was all these prophets? Probably was. That's not my focus, is it? My focus is how can this stuff that's recorded in here, not as a historical book, because I'm not interested in history. I'm not. I want to know how I can use the experiences they had in their life and make my life more like God's life. Doesn't that make sense? That's what this was put for. This was put forth that we could learn how to live more godly. Because if we were left to our own thinking process, well, we kind of blew it up anyway. There's 22,000 denominations. And I think I said there's about 5,000 circuses mixed in with that. See? So I got to know that this is a parable. People want to talk about things and they don't even realize that it's parabolic. Can anybody remember what the word parable means? In the language? Huh? Now, the parable means this in the language. It says, it's a fictitious story to bring about a moral truth. To show you a moral truth, he uses a fictitious story. I don't care if it's a true story or a fictitious story. He's using it, not in the form that he's making something up and it's all a lie, but he's using it to teach me something. Right? That's all. So that's what parables are about. If you understand this book is done in parabolic form, you'll have a tremendously different view of the Bible, and it will help you in your life. Because reading this as a history book, that there was a man lived 6,000 years ago named Adam, what good does that do to me? Because if I read what he did, he screwed up. And how's that going to help me? I need to understand how can I put his experiences, because that was me. That man Adam was me. Because I was a man born on this earth and God put his spirit in me. Same thing. And I'm going to make the same mistakes anybody else makes. But how am I going to understand how to get through it? By seeing what he's teaching in parable form. It's the only way you're going to see it. Only way we're going to get through it. Okay. Verse 35, that it might be spoken, which was spoken, might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will speak out things which have been kept secret, or it says utter, should be speak out. I will speak out things that have been kept secret from the, what? Foundation, literally, is the word conception. Look at your language. It says conception of the world. Okay? He says, I will speak. He said, I'll open my mouth in parables, and I will speak things, or speak out things which have been kept secret from the conception of the world. Do you think it's funny that I speak things that most people don't speak? There's prophets on this earth right today There's a generation God is raising up that's speaking truth, and they don't care what anybody thinks about it. And I'm meeting them people. I'm not the only crazy one. I'm not the only crazy preacher on the earth. There's some scattered all over the place. I met five or six this last week down in Texas. And they come from all over the country and other countries. God's got them in these little tiny hamlets, hid here, hid there. When it's time, they'll come forth. And they're going to utter things that's been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And it's God's timing. They're going to bring it out. I don't think you can utter anything before it's time. Because if God wants it out, you're going to speak it. Whether people like it or not has no bearing on it. You'll do what he tells you to do. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, literally his house. And his disciples came unto him saying, declare to us the parable of the tares of the field, or literally explain it or make it clear. He's talking with these guys and they've been walking with him for quite a while. And they can't understand. Are these the apostles? Disciples? Then why do you get so hard on yourself when you don't grasp it immediately? Come on.
Because the world has elevated the disciples to the dimension.
See? They put the disciples up here, and we're just little peons trying to get through the life. Those disciples was no different than you. If you think of them any better than yourself, you'll never reach the fullness of the kingdom. They are your brothers. Jesus was our brother. Is that true?
Yes.
Now, if me and Phil are brothers, he's older than I am. Does that make him better than me? Does it?
No, the same,
same father, same mother. Come on. Mm-hmm. Does he make him any better than me?
No.
No. Jesus, all through Scripture, said, don't worship me. Worship the Father. Worship God. In the book of Revelation, he told John, don't worship me. I'm of the prophets and your brethren. I'm just like you are. We've got to change our thinking process to where we know that we are sons of God and we're not ashamed of it. That's why Paul wrote, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I don't feel it's robbery to say, I'm a son of God. I have a right to say that because he's my Father. If you think that you're not equal to that, you're calling God a liar. Because God said you are. Right here's a list of things that God says you are. He says you're sons of God. You're born again. You're unblameable. You're unreprovable. You're righteous. You're justified. You're joint heirs. That means we inherit everything He's got. We're as He is. We're ambassadors. We're accepted by Him. We're holy. We've been adopted, sanctified, predestined, seated in heavenly places, reconciled, hid with Christ in God. We're forgiven, redeemed, called, glorified. We're the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're a new creation. We're chosen. We're His body. We're bought with a price. We're God's elect. We're God's loved. We're born of God. We're the light of the world. We're complete in Him. We're beloved of God. We're washed. We're saints. We're children of the living God. We're blessed. We're faithful. And we are perfected. Now, does that sound like somebody that's less than his son? Huh? Come on. This is you he's talking about. This isn't talking about Jesus, that one man that walked in Nazareth back here over in that little piece of country over in Mideast. He's talking about you. That's what this passage is about. If we can't learn that we are sons of God, we will never take our rightful place. If I don't know who my Father is, and as long as I think that I'm just this little lowly human being and God's way up there in the heavens, then I'm an orphan. If I think that, I'm an orphan. But whenever I know who my Father is, I can do just what that paper said. I can become a joint heir with Him. And everything He has is mine. Not that I have some kind of power to lord over anybody, but I'll have the same compassion and the same love, and I have every authority that He has. I have that same thing. When He tells me, I'll sit in His throne and rule with Him, I'm not going to be sitting on His lap. I'm sitting in the same place He's sitting, here, in spirit. And I'll rule with Him. I'll rule the same way he would rule. Every decision I make will be exactly what he makes. Do you understand what I'm saying? This isn't that hard, really. But we have to come across all this old baggage that we've carried in from Passover and Pentecost. We got to, on the third day, lighten the ship with your own hands. See? You got to get rid of it. And until you get rid of that baggage, you haven't got room to put the truth. As long as the old tabernacle is still standing, there's not room for the new one, is there? Right? Okay. He said, explain or make clear this parable and tares of the field. He said unto them, he that sows the seed is the Son of Man, the Son of humanity. Who is that? Who's the Son of humanity? Who's the Son of Man? Hello, what is it? It's Christ. See, not the man Jesus. It's Christ. This whole book is about Christ. From the very first three verses in Genesis, it was Christ being formed. It's all about Christ. There's only one message in this book. It's about Christ. He says here, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Don't think for a second that's a devil. Wicked one is the Greek word poneros. It's not Satanus or Diabolos. And you know what it means? Wicked one. They're the children of the wicked one. Jeremiah 17:9 says what? The heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all things. See? That's what he's talking about. We're the children of the carnal thoughts in our mind. That's what birthed us in our thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart. Hello? See? That carnal thinking is what birthed us and made us think that we're less than God's sons. That's all it is. If we understand this thing, this is the enemy. There's no devil. There's no pitchforks. There's no red flannel suits. It's about our thinking that has made us wrong. We have believed that natural thing over the spiritual thing. That's the mess. Come on. That's all it is. He says, the enemy that sowed them is what? Now, this word is diabolos. But you know what? It's the same thing, because diabolos is the accuser or the false accuser. And what accuses you? Where are you accused at? Right in your mind. See? That's the thing accusing you. And that's the very thing that sowed these bad thoughts in you and told you you were no good. You take somebody and you tell them from the time they're little until they're mature human beings that they're no good, they're no good, they're no good. What are they going to tell you when you ask them what they are? They'd say, I'm no good. Why do you believe that? Well, that's what I've always heard. They've been brainwashed into that thing. And men who and women who were well-meaning, out of their carnal thinking, come up with ideas about God and about us that weren't godly. See, there's the carnal thinking. There's those carnal thoughts that came and was sowed in our field by people who meant well, but they just didn't have a tap into God, did they? They were doing it out of their own thinking. He said, the harvest is the end of the what? Literally, it's the aeon, the end of the age. It's the end of the age. And the reapers are the messengers. And therefore, the tares are gathered and burned, and therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end or the completion of this age. When this age of humanity, this age of time that we live in right now, when it comes to a completion, God is going to remove the tares and destroy them. It's not people. He's going to remove all the carnal thinking. Good God, you ought to be shouting. He's going to remove every tear out of your mind. What kind of mind are you going to have left? You're going to have a godly mind. All you're going to think of is the mind of Christ. You won't have any more of them bad black seeds in your mind, will you? See? Geez, you ought to be happy. See, that can give you peace. That's why you can lay down and know that, yes, I'm living in a mess. Maybe my whole life is in the toilet. So what? God said He's going to take care of every tear at the end of this age. Geez. Ooh. See, Why can't we be excited about that? We can be excited about somebody bouncing a basketball and throwing it through a hoop and call it March Madness. Why can't we get happy about God doing something in our life? This stuff don't mean anything. I'm doing the best I can to restrain myself. Verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth His messengers, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity or violate the law. See? Now, see, again, we want to run this thing, and that's what the church world has taught us. We run this thing, them that do iniquity. We're talking about the thoughts that do iniquity. He's never talking about bad people versus good people. That's what church teaches us. As long as we think good and evil, we're on the wrong tree. If we think good people versus bad people, we've eaten on the wrong tree. That's not the tree of life, is it? Do you hear me? As long as we think there's good people versus bad people, we're eating on the wrong tree. Come on. It's the truth. We have to know it's not about good versus bad people. It's about godly thoughts versus humanistic thoughts. Carnal thoughts. That's all it's about. And we try to put people in here. We try to make all of this understanding of humanism fit in God's Word. And you know, I ain't found no place for it to fit. I couldn't squeeze another letter in here. If it's carnal, it will not fit in this book. It will not fit the patterns. It just won't work. You can try all you want to, because man has tried it since the beginning of time, and everything the church has preached for the last 2,000 years, I have never seen life in it. I never did. Even when I was a kid, I saw things that I listened to them, and I didn't have enough nerve to contradict what the Pharisees were teaching, because I didn't know. Had enough sense to keep my mouth shut, because I didn't have enough to say. But I never believed the things they said. The church, when I was young, said, if you're righteous, you've got to be poor. You've got to humble yourself. You've got too much. And the churches kept the preachers poor, I guarantee you, because they paid them $2 or $3 a week. They kept them poor. See, if God didn't humble them, they helped God humble them themselves. It's just not what God says. There's nothing wrong with having money. Nothing wrong with being prosperous as long as it's not an idol in our lives. We just got to keep it in order. Keep everything in order. But it says this thing here in this 41st verse, He's going to take out everything that offends. That Greek word for offends, anybody know what it is? Scandalon. Scandal, where we get our word scandal. He's going to take every scandal out of us. That'll make you feel good. It's the root word of this right here. Rat trap. The bent stick, you know, that bent thing there you put on there. And then you set it off, and I don't want to do that and do that. It's like that. That's how quickly we get offended. He's going to take all them things out of us. And He said, He shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Boy, there's hell, ain't it? That's what the church teaches. That's hell. He said He's just going to burn everything up and purify. See, fire is purification. He said, there shall be, right, or will be, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Just try to take the devils away from them. Just try to take their devils away from them. They'll fight you. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth just because they have to give up their devils. That's all it is. Oh, it's an idol, all right. I had fun in Texas. I got to break a whole bunch of idols. Stepped on a bunch of them. And I found out there was some that did get offended because I talked to some this week that was offended. They didn't. Yep. They must come, but I did step on a couple. I didn't know it till now, but I know it now. Okay. Then shall what? Then shall the righteous turn. See, once everything's been removed, what's left? If all the things that offend and that does iniquity, all the bad thoughts are gone out of you, what is left? The mind of Christ. Isn't that what's left? Come on. Literally, the word says, the righteous there, it says, the innocent or the holy will shine forth. See, the innocent or the holy will shine forth. Why? It's just Christ. When everything else is done away with, what's left, Phil? Just Christ. Nothing else. Come on. Remember what I read you off of that thing? You're holy. You're innocent. You're not guilty. You're unblameable. You're irreprovable. That's the righteous. And that's what will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom. S-O-N in the kingdom. See, the sun, S-O-N, will shine forth in the kingdom. Not the S-U-N. The S-O-N will shine forth in the kingdom. This book doesn't say there's no sun or moon in the kingdom. Didn't it say that? So to think it's the natural sun going to shine on us 24 hours a day is ridiculous. The light of this kingdom is the S-U-N, the S-O-N rather, the Son of God, which we are. Come on. And then he says here, in the kingdom of their Father, who has ears, or the one that has ears to hear, let him do what? Did he give his command to anybody else? How many people you think hear this? Come on. He only spoke it to. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field. What's the field? That's us. In which a man, when he has found it, he hides, and for the joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Or literally redeems the field. He redeems the field. Okay? Who do you think that is? That's Christ. And when he came to this earth, guess what he found? Talk to me. He found a pearl of great price. That was formed over 4,000 years of suffering. It was called his son. And he found it. And it said when he left the heavens with the Father, he poured out all of his glory, poured out all of his deity, and became like unto a man. And he came and he purchased it with his life. He purchased this land, the whole field, every bit of it. Because there's a pearl in there of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He redeemed it again. Words redeemed. He redeemed it again. That's the same thing. He's telling you all these parables. Every one of them is telling you the same story over and over and over again from a different view. That's all it is, another view. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea. The sea is humanity. He put this big net into the humanity, and guess what he did? He gathered of every or all. He gathered of all. That's what the language says. He gathered all. Which when it was full, they drew it to the shore, sat down, and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Now, did he say anything about throwing any bad people away? He said he just gathered things out of humanity. We are the humanity. He wasn't throwing us away. He was throwing things that's in our life away that's bad. Those black seeds we talked about in the other parable. Those carnal thoughts. He's taking them all out. He's removing everything that offends, isn't he? Okay. Oh, God, help me. So shall it be at the completion of the end of the world or the age. The completion of the age. The word world is aeon, the age. The angels or the messengers shall come forth and what? Literally separate the wicked, right? From what? Well, the word among here is the word mist or the middle. He's going to separate the wicked from the middle of the just. Hello, what's he talking about? He's talking about the wicked thoughts that's in the middle of me, which is in my mind. See? He's going to take them tares out. Another way of saying it. He's just saying it over and over again in many, many different ways. Okay? Where are we at now? And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh my. And Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? Literally saying, did you comprehend? Can you comprehend what I'm saying to you? And they said unto him, and the language says, a very strong yes. Yes, we understand. And you know what? I don't believe it. I don't believe they did. Just because they said yes, did they mean yes? Or was they saying what he wanted them to say? Well, sure he was. See? And just like when I speak here and I ask you a question, I don't expect you to answer what I want. I expect you to answer what's in your heart. See? I don't want anybody to say what, try to figure out what I want you to say and answer that way. I want you to say what's in your heart. If it's wrong, so what? You know the greatest way to memorize the correct answer for something? Speak the wrong one. Isn't it? You speak out openly in front of people and speak the wrong answer, I guarantee you'll never forget that question. You'll remember that because you don't want to be made a fool no more. See? Maybe it's the wrong reason for doing it, but you'll never forget that again. Anybody ask that question again? You've got the right answer now. What do I care as long as I get the answer? Right? Main thing is getting the answer right. Okay. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, this word scribe is not scribe, it's teacher, interpreter, or could be writer, which is instructed, or literally, which is a scholar in the kingdom of heaven, is likened to a man that is a what? Householder, or literally a master of the house, which brings forth out of his deposit, not treasure, but deposit, things new and old. Now, what's he really saying? He said, therefore, every teacher or interpreter, do you know what I am? I'm a teacher. And what I do is, which is a scholar in the kingdom of heaven, is likened to a man that is a master of the house, which brings forth out of his, not treasure, but out of his deposit. The only thing I can bring forth is something God has deposited in my life. I can only speak out of the deposit God's put in my life. I can't speak out of anybody else's deposit. But I've got to bring things out of this deposit that God has given me from the old and the new. From the Old Testament, I have to go back and get some things because there's some valuable things in that part of the book. There's people today that say the Old Testament don't count. Hogwash. What's it here for? New Testament. Yes. Both. We need both. It's all there, every bit of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished his parables, he departed from there. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch as they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Hello. This parable wears me out. I hear it all the time. Who do you think you are? That's the same thing they're saying there. Where did you get this wisdom? What makes you think you know what you're talking about? Well, you know what? I've lived on the other side. I lived in the realm of death and carnality. And I'm as far removed from that as I could possibly get, and people still tell me I'm crazy. Well, I'm in good company. They told Jesus he was crazy. They were rejecting the Spirit of truth. They were rejecting the Christ within him. And they said, where does this man get his wisdom and these mighty works? See? They don't believe it's of God. He said, is this not the carpenter's son? You know that's the wrong genealogy? Because he wasn't the carpenter's son. Did you know that? Huh?
He was a carpenter.
Huh. Joseph, his stepfather was a carpenter. His father is God. See? They just saw the natural and saw that he raised him and called him his father. But his true genealogy was from where? God. See? His real father wasn't a carpenter. Oh, they put the things on the signs all the time. Huh? Okay. We just twist it around, put it back where it belongs. Okay. Is not this his mother called what?
Mary.
It's not Mary. You look at your Strong's, you'll find out his mother's name was not Mary.
It's
Miriam. Absolutely, it's Miriam. Or Maria. Both of them are in the language. And his brother, James? It's Jacob. See, Jesus had a brother called Jacob, the used car salesman. And Joseph is what it should be. Okay? And Simon, which is literally Simeon. And Judas is really Judah. Okay? Names aren't right. And that's what religious folk do. They mess things up. They misquote. They twist words. They twist meanings. They'll miss the genealogy. And they'll guarantee you they'll think they're natural instead of spiritual. And they said, and his sisters, are they not with us? Whence has this man all these things? And they were what? Everybody that comes to you and says to that, who do you think you are? What makes you think you know something more than I do? What does it tell you about them? They're offended. They're offended because you've maybe went beyond where they're at. This is what this will reveal. When you think what the Word of God and the mind of Christ reveals, it reveals everyone else's heart as well as yours. When people do things, if you think, every word that proceeds out of our mouth reveals something about us. Everything reveals. I love to talk to people because they tell me everything. They tell me everything about their lives. Just give me a little time talking with them, and I can read a book, I can read your mail to you, because you will tell me things. Ask God to give you the discernment. You'll hear things people say, and they'll say things and they're not talking at all about what they're talking about. They'll reveal their whole life to you. You don't have to ask a question. They'll reveal your life to you. They will. Just sit and talk. One of the greatest things God gave me was the ability, after He matured me a little bit, was to teach me to quit talking so much and to listen to people. Listen to people. God, they'll tell you all the problems. They'll reveal everything about their lives. And say, and the only reason they're telling you is because they're looking for an answer. They're looking for help. This whole creation out here is looking for the Savior, their deliverer. And you know who that is? It's right in them right now. They just don't know that Christ is already within them. That's all. But they were offended in Him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Literally, it's his own hometown and his own family. See? Too familiar. They want to choose to see you as you were. They're living out of the past. They can't see you as you are today. I see people right now that I haven't seen for years. What's the first thing they throw at me? Hey, you still fishing? Yep, not the way you are, though. They missed it. All they can think of, they can see me, they relate to fishing. That's not my life, is it? Catching a fish is not my life. One time I thought it was, but it's sure not. I guarantee you that. If that's all the legacy they see in me, they're saying the same thing about these right here, about Jesus. See? Carpenter's son. See, I never really was a fisherman. I just thought I was. And someone labeled me that. Huh? And then I woke up and found out I'm not a fisherman. Okay? Look what it says in 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their what? It says unbelief, But the language says faithlessness, disbelief, and disobedience. That's the root of those words. Okay? Because of their faithlessness, their disbelief, and their disobedience. That's why he couldn't do anything. They didn't believe he could. They didn't have enough faith to even let God come to their life and work in it. Did that mean God couldn't do anything? They didn't want to receive anything from him. If you teach, if you think like the church has taught us, see, those people rejected God. Give me a break. Do you think anybody on the face of this earth has the power or the authority to tell God no? If you do, you don't see the same God I see. I don't think anybody or anything can say no to God. You might do it once, but I don't think you're fool enough to do it twice. I said no to him, but I changed very quickly. Changed very quickly, because he has a way to make you come around. See? But it says that he couldn't do anything because of their... So that looks like the power is in their hand, doesn't it? I'm sorry. God wanted this pattern shown. That's all. And if I want to look at it and say, oh, them people stronger than God, I don't think so. Do you? Do you think that they're stronger than God?
No.
Not for a moment. But that's what religion will teach you.
Yeah. He is doing this too.
Sure he is.
But it's like a contradiction.
It seems that way. And the only reason we see contradiction is because we go back, slip back to the natural a little bit and see something in the natural realm. And we're all guilty of it. You know, we could be talking real spiritual, and the next minute we'll be talking something as carnal as a day is long. Just like you spoke about. 1 minute everything going right, and boom, I'm right back down again. See? That's because we're still in that mixture realm. But do you know how we get out of the mixture realm? Keep adding to it. See? If you got a vessel and you're pouring in, it's got some stuff in it, and you want to pour the pure stuff in, the more you pour in, the more it's going to dilute what's in there. You don't have to call him. He's going to do that. See, he's doing it right now. That's why all the confusion and all the trouble we hear. And see, we're not. If we learn not to blame somebody, all the people are talking. There's so many people today that's talking about this tabernacle's experience, and they're still pointing a finger to everybody out there. See, they just want to be with the group of people that's got the latest or the greatest revelation. That's not what it's about. It's about understanding your life. This is your life. Not just mine, it's mine, but it's yours too. If we understand, standing here pointing at somebody will never get me anywhere. If I want to point somebody, I'll do it this way, right here. Point at myself. And know that every problem I got is because I have done something and I'm reaping something that I sowed. That's the only way I can look at it. You look at it any other way, you know what you'll be? Depressed. Sure it is. Sure it is. But if we blame everything external, we'll never get to the root of the problem, which is internal. You know what? You ought to remember that. Any other questions?